సరస్వత్యై నమః శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః హరిః ఓం సహనావవతు సహనౌ భునక్తు సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై ఖంవాయుర్జ్యోతిరాప పృథివీ విశ్వస్య ధారిణీ నారాయణాద్ బ్రహ్మా జాయతే నారాయణాద్ రుద్రో జాయతే నారాయణాదింద్రో జాయతే నారాయణాద్ ప్రజాపతయ ప్రజాయంతే నారాయణాద్ ద్వాదశాదిత్యా రుద్రావసవః సర్వాణి చ ఛందాగుంసి నారాయణాదేవ సముత్పద్యంతే నారాయణే ప్రవర్తంతే నారాయణే ప్రళీయంతే ఓం అథ నిత్యో నారాయణః బ్రహ్మా శివశ్చ నారాయణః శక్రశ్చ నారాయణః ద్యావా పృథివ్యౌ చ నారాయణః కాళశ్చ నారాయణః దిశశ్చ నారాయణః ఊర్ధ్వశ్చ నారాయణః అధశ్చ నారాయణః అంతర్బహిశ్చ నారాయణః నారాయణ ఏవేదగుం సర్వం యద్భూతం యచ్చ భవ్యం నిష్కలో నిరంజనో నిర్వికల్పో నిరాఖ్యాత శుద్ధో దేవ ఏకో నారాయణః నద్వితీయోస్తి కశ్చిత్ య ఏవం వేద స విష్ణురేవ భవతి స విష్ణురేవ భవతి శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి
శ్రీ సాయిరామ్. ఆఫరింగ్ మై మోస్ట్ హంబుల్ ప్రణామ్స్ ఎట్ భగవాన్స్ డివైన్ లోటస్ ఫీట్. ఎస్టీమ్డ్ ఎల్డర్స్, డియర్ బ్రదర్స్ అండ్ సిస్టర్స్, లవింగ్ సాయిరామ్ టు ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ. వీ వెల్కమ్ యూ ఆల్ టు ద ఈవినింగ్ ప్రొసీడింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఇయర్స్ సమ్మర్ కోర్స్ ఇన్ ఇండియన్ కల్చర్ అండ్ స్పిరిచువాలిటీ, విచ్ ఇస్ బీయింగ్ కండక్టెడ్ బై ద శ్రీ సత్యసాయి ఇన్స్టిట్యూట్ ఆఫ్ హైయర్ లెర్నింగ్. ఇట్ ఇస్ సెడ్, when clouds gather in the sky, they are usually accompanied by lightning. In the same way, wherever there is education, it is supposed to be accompanied by wisdom. to bring about this blend of secular and spiritual knowledge, to nourish the young minds with noble ideas and ideologies, to instruct the youth on moral, ethical, spiritual, physical, and secular truth. Bhagwan started this unique yajna of summer course in Indian culture and spirituality way back in the year 1972. During the summer course, the students get an opportunity to look upon and learn from the great monuments of Indian culture like Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta, Bhagavatam, which embodies the timeless values and teachings that can infuse the sacred sense of divine into the young mind. They also get a chance to listen from and listen about the champions of human excellence, the great patriots, the humble instruments of the divine who have silently worked towards the upliftment of humanity with great sacrifice and devotion. All we have to do is to open our hearts and partake the tonic of love which is showered during the summer course and offer our gratitude to Bhagwan for inspiring us and giving us yet another opportunity to step up and live a life worthy of being his child. This evening we have three speakers, two students and one faculty member from the university. The first speaker for the evening session is Sri Saunak Day, who is currently pursuing his bachelor's in business administration at the Muddenalli campus of Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Learning. Hailing from West Bengal, Saunak completed his schooling from Sai International School at Bhubaneswar. He is a singer, dramatist, and also member of the publication team for the campus magazine. This evening, he'll be speaking on the topic, Our Culture, Our Strength. The second speaker for the evening session is Sri D. Sai Vamshikrishna, who is pursuing his third BSc Physics honors from Vrindavan campus. Sri Sai Vamshikrishna hails from Hyderabad. He joined the Sri Sathya Sai Primary School as a first standard student in the year 2003 and went on to complete his 12th standard in Sri Sathya Sai High Secondary School Prashantilayam in 2015 and later joined the Vrindavan campus to pursue the BSc honors in physics. This evening, he'll be speaking on the topic, Our Beloved Swami. The last speaker for the evening session is Professor Gangadhar Shastri from the Political Science Department of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Professor Gangadhar Shastri did his bachelor's in arts with history, economics and political science from Rajasthan University, Jaipur, master's with political science from Andhra University, Visakhapatnam, master's in philosophy in history and archaeology from Nagarjuna University, Guntur, and then completed his doctorate in public administration from Usmania University, Hyderabad. After teaching in the Loyola College in Vijayawada for 2 years, he joined as the first staff member in the political science department of the erstwhile Sri Sathya Sai Arts, Commerce and Science College, started by Bhagwan in the year 1979. He further continued in Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, founded by Bhagwan in the year 1981, and has served since then in various academics and administrative capacities at the Prashantilayam campus. He has published several articles and in national and international journals in the areas of political science, Constitution of India, and several international geopolitical issues. He has also contributed articles on Gandhian thoughts, non-alignment, and its relevance in the present day. He has penned several articles on Bhagwan, which were published in Sanatan Sarthi, Srivani, and Telugu dailies. This evening, he'll be speaking on the topic, Bhagwan Baba on Education. Before we commence this evening's talk session, I request Sri Shiva Singh, third BCom honors student from the Vrindavan campus, to come over and present a brief summary of this morning's summer course proceedings in the Purnachandra Auditorium. I then request the three speakers to come to the dais in the order they were introduced. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
Offering myself at the lotus feet of my beloved Mother Sai, respected elders, all my dear brothers and sisters, a loving Sai Ram to one and all present here. I have been blessed with the opportunity to summarize the morning proceedings of the first day of the summer course in Indian Culture and Spirituality 2017-18. It began with the invocatory Vedam by the students from the Muddenhalli campus, which was followed by the welcome address by Shri Sanjay Sahani, Controller of Examinations, Shri Satsai Institute of Higher Learning. Sir, in his speech, recollected and made us relive some of those special moments which Swami blessed and students enjoyed during the earlier summer courses. Sir also told us how Swami emphasized on the point of listening to good things again and again so that they go deep within us. A touching takeaway from Sir's speech was, if you give your heart to Swami, your education is complete. Sahani Sir's talk was followed by the inaugural address given by Shri K. Chakravarti, member Shri Satsai Central Trust. Chakravarti Sir's informative speech on our heritage was an eye-opener to all of us. Sir's talk highlighted the various aspects of what culture is, its importance, its types, and the mesmerizing beauty of Indian culture. Dharma, as the cornerstone of our culture, Sir said, is constant, but it changes, cause it's not rigid. Statements like philosophy suffused with religion and religion dynamic with philosophy captured our imagination and exercised our intelligence. From here, Sir outlined the structural blocks of Indian culture, the Vedas and its essence, the Upanishads and their message, and Sir also touched upon the various aspects of the sacred texts like Ramayana, Mahabharata and the divine gospel, the Gita. Sir's talk was followed by Swami's discourse, in which Swami gave us valuable lessons. Swami corrected our general way of thinking. We generally think culture is the way of life, but Swami corrected us by saying unity in diversity is culture. Swami then talked about the essence of true love, and we were left mesmerized with his message. Removal of immorality is the way to immortality. Truly, it's only Swami who can put it in such easy and simple terms for us to understand. Following Swami's discourse was a talk, Excellence in Action, by Shri Vijay Menon, a professor from the IIM. Shri Vijay Menon Sir's talk told us experiences from the lives of various people whom we admire, like Srimati M.S. Sublakshmi Amma, Dr. A.P.J. Abdul Kalam, Sachin Tendulkar. Also, his speech emphasized on the importance of practicing dharma, even in today's world where there is cutthroat competition and everybody is running after money. He told us through the example of Amul, how by following dharma, even today, in today's world, one can reach great heights. Sir's speech contained useful insights and rich emotional experiences. Following Sir's speech, we had a wonderful quiz session, which was very nicely put as it was. Not a quiz competition, but a session in which we all enjoyed a satsang, reliving all the experiences of Swami's life. In the afternoon session, we had study circles in which we discussed Swami's discourse on Bhakti Yoga. While the summer course's first day proceedings concluded thus, our minds who are aware of new reality. Today, on one hand, our culture faces extinction, while on the other, it is largely misinterpreted. Though this summer course we embark to understand our culture, our culture's true significance, protect, nurture, and cherish it. I thank you for your patient listening. I thank Swami for giving me this opportunity. Thank you. Sai Ram.
Shri Sai Ram. I place my humble and loving salutations at the divine lotus feet of Bhagwan Baba, and I pray that he speaks through me. Respected elders and my dear brothers and sisters, culture is the way of life. It is how we have refined ourselves and the direction that we have given to our lives. And in India, culture is all about God. Our life revolves around God. God is the only motivation, the sole inspiration, and the goal. So who is this God? Well, I really don't know. Because God never came down to me and introduced himself. But being a human being, I have known love. And with this experience, I can say that God is pure love. We are Bharatiyas. Bha, signifying God, and Rath, meaning in love. We are a people in love with God. And this simple qualification makes it possible for anyone in any part of the world to be a part of this truly universal culture. Doesn't matter which God you worship, doesn't matter which religion you follow. If you have made God as the central focal point of your life, then you truly are a Bharatiya. This quest for God, this search for God, must begin within ourselves and not outside. But unfortunately, all our lives, we have been told and trained to seek what lies beyond our reach, to explore the world around us. And this is where we have gone wrong. We have totally missed out on the treasures that lie within ourselves. Indian culture works with this inward approach towards life. And upon this strong foundation stand the lofty ideals of Advaita, the supreme oneness with God, the all-pervadingness of divinity, and the complete detachment towards body. But if you are going to explain these things to a 20-year-old like me, then I would say that I have got no reason to believe you. And why should I? Why should I believe in spirituality in the 21st century when the internet, the Android smartphones are working just perfectly for me? But maybe when you have lost everything that you ever had and everything that you had put your hopes upon, maybe then you find the right occasion to understand who you truly are and what you can do. Years ago, when I was a fifth grade student in school, I had suffered from a bout of viral fever. And after the usual dose of antibiotics, the fever was gone. But what remained was going to change my life forever. I got paralyzed. A certain neurological disorder had wreaked a havoc on my system. And after falling several times, I just realized that I couldn't walk. Back then, I used to be a good football player and was just waiting for my chance to represent my district and even my state. But now, as my father carried me on his back to the hospital, tears streamed down my cheeks. And I realized that these same pair of legs, which carried me so fast everywhere, were now a burden upon someone. This was how I learned not to trust my body always. Because this body, this mind, and this intellect is bound by the limitation of time and space, which truly transcends is the soul. And that is what we truly are. The Sanskrit word for human beings is manav. The syllable ma refers to the word not in English. And the syllable nav means something which is new. So we human beings are not new. And in our name lies the secret of our true transcendental identity. The next thing that I'm going to speak about is something the mere mention of which puts off even the most serious spiritual aspirant. And this is Advaita, the supreme oneness with God. Because it is really difficult for most of us to even imagine that we and God can be at the same level. Or even better put, there is no God. There is just you. Last year, during the annual sports and cultural meet, I was a part of the sports meet drama which was performed right here in the Kulwant Hall. And I was playing the role of a saint named Totapuri. Now what this man had to do is, he has to go and initiate Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa into the philosophy and ideals of Advaita. He has to talk about the eternal reality of the Atma and how Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and his beloved Kali Ma are just one and the same thing. We had so many rehearsals. With time, I slowly picked up the art of stage movement, the expressions, the lip sync. But every time I entered the stage, I could feel that there is something missing, because it felt so artificial. Anyways, the D-Day arrived, 13th January 2017. Now this day was really important for me, for two reasons. One was the obvious one, that we were going to stage a drama in the Divine Presence. The second and the lesser known reason is that my mother was going for an operation on the same day. The drama began and progressed scene by scene. And soon it was time for me to enter the stage. As I stood there waiting in full costume in the backstage, I prayed to God for one last time. I prayed so that he takes care of me and my acting, and also for my mother, since she was not well. And exactly at this point of time, suddenly a thought struck my mind, and it worked like an instant revelation. Here I was, praying like any other normal human being in the backstage. And when the curtains open, I have to go on stage and shout at Sri Ramakrishna, "I am God. Even you are God. Please do believe in me." Now forget about Sri Ramakrishna believing in me. Even I couldn't believe my own words, because I could notice such a stark contrast between my onstage and offstage behavior. Then and there, I stopped praying. And for the first time in my life, I truly believed that I am God. That day, it was God who entered the stage. And everything was so natural. There was a different energy in all the dialogues that I delivered. Everything fell into place. I was lost into my character. In fact, I was so comfortable in my character, I walked all the way from Kulwant Hall to the dormitory in full costume. And this was how I unexpectedly had a very practical experience of what is Advaita. The next thing that I'm going to talk about is something we all have noticed. It's common in India for people to worship a tree, a rock, a mountain, a river, or even some of the animals as God. Because in India, everything is God. God lives in every heart and every home. But centuries of misinterpretation of the scriptures have led us into believing that a tree, a mere monkey, or a rock is God. Or God is them. And this is like pushing a huge picture into a tiny frame. And this is where we have gone wrong. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that our culture is verily our religion, the Sanatana Dharma. Our culture is much larger and broader than the temples we visit, the books we read, the food we eat, the languages we speak, the rituals we practice. Because these rituals are only a means to achieve that ultimate end of spiritual awakening. And spiritual awakening brings love, the eternal, unsullied, unadulterated, unconditional love in our hearts. And today's selfish world needs a lot of love. Love is something which the scientists have not yet formulated. The industries can't mass produce. And all the explorers of the world can't find in any corner of the world, because it's here, right here in the heart, and has to be extended to each and everyone surrounding us. Our culture is our true strength, because it aims at transforming the heart. I thank Bhagwan for giving me this wonderful opportunity, and I thank you all for patiently listening to me. Jai Sai Ram.
Shri Sai Ram, invoking Bhagwan's divine blessings, respected elders, sisters and brothers, a loving Sai Ram to everyone present over here, our beloved Swami, indeed my beloved Swami. So when I think of Swami, there are only two words that come. One is either Swami or Mother Sai. It never comes to me Bhagwan or something like that, because when I was born, they showed me Swami's photo and said, he's your God. That's it. And we were to believe it. And for us, God was not someone who was there in the heavens or when thunder would roar or something. But God was someone we came to meet on Thursdays and Sundays. God was someone who gave us chocolates in this hall. God was someone who used to come and smile at us and ask, what is breakfast today? So that was our concept of God. And we were never scared. In fact, he was a focal point of our lives, such that if something was there with Swami not in it, something was wrong with that. I remember in my fifth standard, you all can see that East Prashanti over there. I could not see it. I was not able to make out. But I thought that that was normal eyesight, because I didn't know any. So I thought, for everyone, that East Prashanti looks blurred. So it continued. Later, after some years, I was not able to make out what was being written on the blackboard. But I thought that the teacher is writing small, so maybe I should go front. It was in my 8th standard. I was sitting a little bit back, and I was not able to see Swami. I seen Swami, but it was blurred. I could not make out Swami's eyes and face. And that was the first time that I got scared, and I went back and told my teacher, sir, I think something is wrong. I think I have done some sin or something. I'm not able to see Swami's face. And that time he told me, he was puzzled. So he told, can you tell me what's written over there? So I read. He said, what's the color? I said, sir, it's a little bit blurred and dull. And he said, Buddhu, go and get your eyes checked up. And then I came and I had eyesight. I was having it for the past 4 or 5 years, but it never bothered to me. I could not read the what was written in the classroom. I could not read all those notice boards, but I was not bothered. But the day I realized that I could not see Swami's face, then I realized that something had to be done about this. In fact, I remember as kids in the primary school, I had this bucket list of wishes that I wanted, being part of the band, being part of the convocation dramas in front of Swami. And one such chance was this Aarti chance or the Rose chance. So let me first explain what is this Aarti chance or Rose chance. So on their birthdays, students would go to Swami, they would take a rose, and they would, after giving the Aarti, they would give the rose to Swami. Swami would take the rose, put it in their pocket, take out the letter from their pocket, he would maybe read it and talk to them for some time, interact with them, and then he would tell them, take Pad Namaskar. And I felt that that was the best birthday gift anyone could ever get. So from my almost fourth standard, fifth standard, I had this desire that, Swami, I want to join high secondary school, I want to join over there to get this chance. I used to imagine, in fact, because sometimes it was difficult for Swami to take out the envelope from the same pocket and put the rose in the same pocket. So I planned, I'll wear a safari, so there'll be two pockets. Swami can put the rose in one pocket, the letter will be in another pocket. And then some people, I decided I'll do away with the envelope because, again, Swami has to take out from there. So I did this detailed planning that there'll be no envelope, and I decided how I will fold it, what I will write in it, what will Swami's expression be. If he asks me this question, what will I answer? And then I thought maybe Swami will pull my cheek or pat my cheek. I did all this detailed planning. And I joined the higher secondary school. And in my 8th standard, I came to know that the 10th standard boys and the 12th standard boys have this opportunity on virtue of having their board exams. I guess I was the only kid who was ever eagerly awaiting for his board exams. And I prayed to Swami, Swami, let my 10th standard come fast. But in my 8th standard, Swami took Mahasamadhi. And that was a big blow. I mean, I just couldn't bear it. And as one of my teachers used to tell, like, it was a handicap that we were not able to take the absence of his physical presence. I knew that Swami was there, and yet that little bit doubt was there that, Swami, maybe if you were there physically, it would have been better. And so I used to think, and whenever I think, what would have happened if Swami was there right now physically? And the first thought would have come this rose chance. I said, Swami, I have lived it and relived it so many times in my mind. Can't you make it happen once physically? I've been praying for this opportunity since my 4th standard. Can't you give me once? And I just feel bad about it. So this continued for many years. And in my 2nd UG, I was listening to one of my brothers talking about his experience of how he gave Aarti to Swami. And as I was thinking about my own experience, it was suddenly at that time that it hit me. So in primary school, the 7th standard boys have this opportunity that we can give Aarti to Swami on festival days. So, and it goes by behavior. So the best boys, they start from first. So almost half the year was over and I had not yet got my chance. So I said, Swami, I'm not a bad boy, then why are you not giving me this chance? Slowly my birthday came. It was during the Dasara time. And my chance was not there. But headmistress auntie called me and she said, what is your birthday, right? You go and give Aarti. The teacher said, auntie, but the order has been fixed and the boys have been decided. She said, no, he's a very good boy. Let him give Aarti today. It's his birthday. So the order was changed and I was fitted inside the new order. So that day I went and I gave Aarti. And I put a letter. But in the tension that I had to give Aarti, the letter was still in my pocket. So while Swami was going, when I was going for blessings, Swami said, letter. And he took out from my pocket. Generally, we give it. He took out from my pocket. After he said, take Namaskar. I took Namaskar and he blessed me and went. It was 9 years later that as I was sitting in Vrindavan, 9 years later that I realized that all these years I had been telling Swami, Swami, you did not give me Aarti chance on my birthday, but he had already given me in my 7th standard. I was thinking of maybe in my UG I will get, PG I will get, but he had already given me 9 years earlier. But then, you know, humans that we are, I try to say, Swami, maybe that was coincidence. But it was not. Because 19 years of my existence on this planet, that was the only year in which my birthday came during Dasara. In fact, I checked from 1990 to 2020, the only year that my birthday came in Dasara was in 2010, the year that I was in 7th standard and I had a chance to give Aarti to Swami. And that year, Swami fulfilled my wish exactly the way I wanted, taking the letter from my pocket and blessing me, giving me Pad Namaskar. But thing is, we are humans. We try to put our plans before His. We don't see that His is the master plan. It's only when we look back, we realize that He's standing behind. When we look down, we see His footsteps. It's only when we look back and connect the dots, we realize that, you know, this is His master plan and we are just pieces in His plan. I remember, you know, there's this times when we try to go against His master plan. We think that our logic, our science, as I'm a science student, we try to use our logic everywhere. And there was this one incident where I tried to put my logic first in front of Swami's plan. Of course, it was my logic which lost. But it was a beautiful experience. It was in my 12th standard that we had prepared for our gratitude program. And just before coming to Mandir, I said, Swami, I want a proof of your physical presence. And the first thing that came to my mind was a flower falling from Swami's chair. Then I said, Swami, no flower. Flower is the old school drama. I use these words. I said in my mind, I said, Swami, flower is old school drama. If the wind blows from side, the flower will fall. Or if I'm taking blessings near the footstool, the flower will fall. I want something radically different. And with these thoughts, I came to Mandir. So our program was over and we were sitting during the bhajans. And I was sitting the first student, 1.1 over here. And as I was sitting, I was thinking, see Swami, for your sake we have put up this program. All of us have come together and we have done so much, we have organized so much. Why? Because our gratitude for you. As a Swami needed our gratitude. I was telling Swami, see Swami, this is our gratitude for you. How much we have prepared for your sake. And I was telling like that, I was beaming and I was smiling. And then slowly the brothers had come, they had come to give us gifts. Swami's, what Swami had sent for us. And they came. I don't know what happened that day. Why they saw me as a diversion post. I was sitting 1.1 student over there. Around 8 trays came. The first student went right. Second one left. They went that way, this way. Everyone missed me. The first student I was, but I did not get a gift from Swami. Except for me, all the 150 students behind me got. I did not get. And I felt so bad. I started crying. I said, Swami, I might be leaving your institutions after this and you're ignoring me. Swami, please. And I started crying. But then Swami did not, means I was having that egoistic feeling, but a mother can never put down a child in front of others. So for the people sitting next to me, they thought I was in a state of ecstasy. So they were telling he's crying, they were consoling, but the real reason I was feeling bad was I had not got, I thought Swami was ignoring me. And I said, Swami, please. And as I was crying, I turned back, and the exact farthermost corner, a brother whom I knew, senior brother, he was serving. And he looked at me and showed a thumbs up saying the program was good. I thought he was asking me what happened. So I said, I shook my head saying, no, I did not get. This person was baffled. He thought, I am telling him program is good, and this person is saying, no, it's not good. So I did not know, and for some moment this confusion was there. By that time everyone had got, so the other people left and they had gone inside. And it took some time for the brother to realize that I did not get a gift. And so all the teachers are already returning. And so he just called, the last moment he called a teacher and said, sir, this boy did not get Swami's gift. And so I was sitting the first boy, but I was the last person to get Swami's memento. And then I said, Swami, if this is your way of showing your physical presence a radically different way, I don't want it again. I am willing to believe that you're present. But then this was not all. I was in that happy state. Now I was saying, thank you so much, Swami. I will never feel that I am the doer again. And I was just praying. They came to serve prasadam. So the person came. He bent the bowl and a prasadam fell down. And now I thought, see, I was saying flowers should not fall down, so prasadam fell down. But yet again, I am a science student, logic. So I said, no, he bent the bowl, right? It was full, so the prasadam fell down. But the thing is, the prasadam boys, when they fill the vessels, the ones which go for serving are always filled full. But the ones which come for blessings are filled only 3/4, keeping this very reason in mind that when they bend, it should not fall down. So there was no way that a prasadam could have fallen because he tilted it. But then I would not have it. So I said, no, maybe it was a laddu. So, no, laddu. So I used all my physics and I said, Newton's law would have acted this way. Gravity downwards, normal force upwards. So there was a net vector. Maybe it was a heavy laddu. Maybe the person who made it a little bigger. So it could have fallen down. But then the problem was, it could have rolled. But the problem was, it was not a laddu, it was a chikki. And I did not know which law of physics could explain how a chikki could roll. So I said, okay, Swami, fine. It can't roll, it can slide. But if any of you have served chikkis, you'll realize that these chikkis are a little bit sticky because of the plastic cover. So it could not have slid. And my final tack I used and I said, Swami, maybe the person who was carrying was clumsy. So he dropped it. But if he was clumsy, he would have dropped the entire vessel or maybe half the bowl or 10 prasadam, something. But exactly one prasadam fell down right in front of Swami's footstool. Exactly in front of Swami's footstool. And that person in a state of nervousness that it had fallen down in front of Swami, he has picked it up, came, 1.1 I was sitting, he gave me and went. And that time I realized that Swami will never let you down. I realized that he was there. And why is this unique? Because in my 15 years, trust me, I have never seen a prasadam fall down in front of Swami. It might have fallen down back, but in front of Swami, unacceptable. That was the first time in my life that I saw prasadam falling down. And Swami showed me something. You wanted something unique and different, right? Sometimes I hear people saying that now Swami has left this physical body. So he has taken the back seat and now we are in the front seat. And I used to always think, somehow I did not agree with this. I always felt that Swami was there physically. I used to want to believe that. So it's just, my logic is like this. All of us have sat in the back seat of a car. How many of us have sat in the back seat of a car and learned how to drive by seeing the driver? No, right? So how are we expecting that now we can take Swami's position as a driver? I don't think it is possible. I believe it is like this. All of us have gone in a train, right? How many of us have seen the driver of a train? I'm sure none of us would have seen. But that does not mean the driver is not there. It is just that before he was taking us in a car, and now his mission has gone global. It's expanding. It has become a train now. And he has gone to an omnipresent form where we're not able to see him. That does not mean that he is not there and we have to take the front seat. Whatever happens, he will remain our sarathi. And the moment he steps down as the Sarathi, the moment Krishna stepped down as Arjuna's Sarathi from the chariot burst into flames. He will always remain our Sarathi. And I would like myself first to believe, because I am the person who doubts the most. So Swami, please bless me that I believe, and also everyone believes, everyone feels your presence, and we know that you're always there with us here. Thank you. Jai Saram.
Om Sri Sai Ram. Offering my most prayerful salutations at Bhagavan's lotus feet, conveying my heartfelt Sai Ram to each and everyone assembled here, I would like to share a few of my thoughts on the profound philosophy of Bhagavan Baba in the field of education. As we are all aware, there are three chosen fields in which Bhagavan contributed so extensively that it is considered as a record in the world history. I am very confident when I say that it's a part of world history, because I think you are all aware the water project undertaken by Bhagavan is described as the best ever undertaken by any NGO or a trust in the entire world by an organization like United Nations itself. Also, scholars, while commenting on this water project, they said, in recent research studies, it was observed that the area which was fast moving towards becoming a desert on the planet was recognized as Anantapur district, and such a district appears very fertile today because of this great project undertaken by Swami on his own. When this water project was to be undertaken, Bhagavan Baba was giving a discourse in Purnachandra Auditorium in the presence of the then Prime Minister, who is no more, P.V. Narasimha Rao Garu. And in the discourse, he mentioned it to the Prime Minister. Prime Minister, you are from Andhra Pradesh and you are blessed with a wonderful opportunity to do something which is going to be remarkable, because no one ever contemplated on doing something like this in the past 500 to 600 years. You have an opportunity to give water to the people of Anantapur, wherein people walk for miles and miles for a glass of water. And then Swami, in his infinite mercy, while talking on that, mentioned it to the Prime Minister. Prime Minister, if you want any financial assistance for this project, tell me whatever money you want, I am ready to give. Do you want 1 crore, 5 crores, 10 crores, 100 crores, whatever you want, I am ready to give you. And in the same discourse, which is available, recorded, Swami said, if necessary, that it requires so much of money, which is not possible for in any way to provide, I don't mind selling away Prashant Nilayam and giving all the money for this project. Bhagwan was always there to serve, and he declared that his incarnation was there to serve. Unfortunately, this concept of service is disappearing from the minds of the people, and so-called educated would like to get served than to serve. As long as we do not understand the philosophy of education of Swami and also Bharat since times immemorial, we will never be able to sanctify our lives, because the very purpose of education is to sanctify our lives. Education has got to grant you a unique feature, an excellent feature, about which actually the summer courses are all designed. From the very beginning till today and probably in the future, we are going to have summer courses on Indian culture and spirituality. Swami very much emphasized on these two aspects called culture and spirituality. One day we were interacting with Bhagavan, a few of us teachers, and somebody mentioned the word culture to Swami, and immediately Swami shot a question. Swami asked him, "What do you mean by culture?" Generally, it was considered better to maintain silence always in the presence of Bhagavan, because you know you will be caught on the wrong side and you'll have it. So better to maintain silence. And we prayed to him to give us the meaning of this word culture. That was the first time I heard a profound meaning of the word culture. I was baffled. At the same time, I was deeply touched and was enlightened. Swami said, "I have gone through many definitions of culture given by great sociologists, but this definition, a short one, a simple one, was so profound. I was really enlightened on that day when Bhagavan Baba said, culture means concern for others. That's all. Very simple. Culture means concern for others. And now, if we go through a system of education, the system of education grants us different kinds of knowledge. But until and unless that knowledge is translated into wisdom, that knowledge is useless. All kinds of knowledge has got to be translated into wisdom. Your knowledge. How did you acquire your knowledge? Bhagavan reminded us on a number of occasions when he said, "You are what you are because of the society, never forget it." The society is contributing in so many ways for your own welfare. You are educated, going to educational institutions funded by society. Go to hospitals, get treatment funded by society. You are walking on roads which are a gift of the society. Everything is a gift of the society. Whatever food you eat is a gift of the society. What is it that you are giving back to the society in turn for all that what you are receiving? If you are not giving anything to the society but would continue and love to exploit the society, how do you call yourself educated? So Bhagavan was deeply dissatisfied with the kind of education that is offered in modern times and decided to have a different kind of educational system. And when he inaugurated the university in 1981 here, he declared in a discourse from this dais, he said, "My university is going to be unique." In that context, Swami also quoted somebody saying, "Swami, you will not be able to start a university here because there is a university at Anantapur, there is one more at Tirupati. So, in a close place like this, probably the government may not grant you permission to start a university." And Swami quoted that and said, "Now I have a university here to prove that what I promised is coming true. Earlier I told there will be a university. When I just take a decision, it takes place. That's all." So he inaugurated the university, and at that time he said, "In this university we are going to give completely a different kind of education." What is that kind of education that Swami planned for all of us? This education, he said, along with the secular knowledge, we want to focus on spiritual knowledge also. Because as today morning Sri Sanjay Sahani was mentioning in the Purnachandra auditorium, Swami referred to education to something like a bird having two wings. And a bird will never be able to fly with one wing. And if you are only supplied with only secular education, it will be just like a bird with only one wing. Your knowledge is incomplete. You will not understand your responsibilities towards the society. And so you have got to be profoundly taught the spiritual significance of knowledge. In fact, Swami went to the extent of saying that secular education is more important than, spiritual education is more important than secular education. That is proved beyond doubt by many, many people who appeared here in this country, like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, Ramana Maharshi, Shirdi Swami, Parthi Swami. They all proved. And it is given to us since times immemorial. If you look at scriptures like Ramayana, Bharata, Bhagavata, all this is all full of spiritual wisdom. Why so much of sanctity being attached to spiritual education? Because it is always said that jantunam narajanma durlabham, it is very difficult for one to be blessed with a human life. Why so? Human life is considered to be the most precious life on the planet because 84 lakshala jeevarasulu unte, 84 lakhs of species when they walk or live on this planet, 83 lakshala 99,999 jeevarasulu maatladalevu, 83,99,999 species cannot speak. Only human beings can speak, and also all of them not. There are many who cannot speak. You are blessed with this wonderful right to speak, and also you are blessed with a very great gift of discrimination, the sense of discrimination. Bhagavan Baba always educated us, teachers. He went on giving lot of lectures to us. He called us, he addressed us. I would like to narrate a wonderful incident how we were educated and profound wisdom was granted to us here in the same place. One day there was a message from a very powerful person that he was about to lose his majority and power from Maharashtra state, and he sent a message to Swami saying, "Swami, save me." He was about to lose his majority. There was a confidence vote test. And Bhagavan Baba said, "Don't worry, I'll protect you." And when the confidence vote was taken, with one vote majority, he won. And immediately he rushed to Puttaparthi. Along with his entire family, he was here. We were always waiting for Bhagavan's darshan by 3:30, 4 o'clock in the veranda here. And Swami would generally emerge by 3:30 or 4 o'clock. That day we went on waiting and waiting. Swami was not to come. So we thought somehow darshan was getting delayed. But suddenly somebody came and told us that the chief minister who won the confidence vote arrived around 2 o'clock. Swami came out at 2 o'clock, took him for interview. And it was a very, very, very long interview. Interview got over. And the whole family was walking out. Around 4:30, Swami came to us. As usual, he took his kerchief. He was wiping his face. He looked at all of us and said, "Today I came out to give darshan very early." "Oh, Swami, it's your mercy, it's your grace." See, the entire family, they are all going out. They came especially to have my darshan, so I wanted to talk to them. And then there was a professor who wanted to interact with Swami and also sometimes get into some kind of a conversation. And he immediately looked at Swami and said, "Swami, I know this man has got a lot of problems. His wife has got a lot of problems. His son got problems. His son-in-law got problems. The whole family has got a lot of problems. So they arrived here." And then Swami gave a very strange look at this professor and said, "Professor, do you mean to say that people who have got lot of problems come to Puttaparthi to get problems resolved?" Then he said, "Yes, Swami, naturally. When they have so many problems, they come here to get the problem resolved and you bless them and solve their problems." Then Swami looked at him and said, "In that case, if you think that people having problems reach Puttaparthi to me to get all their problems resolved, this place should have been flooded with all people from all corners of the globe." Then we did not understand the message, and then Swami clarified and looked at us and said, that professor was there, and he looked at the professor and said, "See, can you show me one person who doesn't have problems in this world? From anywhere. Just show me one person who doesn't have problems in this world." "No, Swami, this man has got..." No, tell me. "Show me one person who doesn't have problems." He was floored and he didn't speak. And then Swami himself said, in his infinite mercy, he looked at all of us and said, "Today I want to reveal something special to all of you. Something very significant. It came like Bhagavad Gita being revealed by Krishna to Arjuna." He looked at all of us and said, "Listen to me carefully. Ee drushya kalpitamainatuvanti jagattuku shashvatamainatuvanti aanandanni meekandarki icche shaktini nenu prasadinchaledu," he said. Which means, this entire world which you are able to conceive, you are able to perceive with your eyes, with your senses, I have not blessed this universe to grant you the real kind of bliss that is to be aspired for. You know what happens in this world? You get momentary happiness. The pleasure that you get is momentary always. And you think that this world is capable of giving you permanent happiness and you run after it. Like a mad guy running after a mirage, thinking that there is water in it. You run, you will not find water in it, you get exhausted completely. You will never get, because this drushya kalpitamaina jagattu, the world which you are able to perceive with your naked eye, is not blessed with that capacity by me. I have not given, Swami himself said, I have not blessed this world, it cannot give you. Then Swami, how do we get that bliss? Then he said, I have created another world where you will be blessed with the kind of bliss for which you always aspire. What is that, Swami? And he said, this I told you during the times of Bhagavad Gita itself. And he said, antar mukho bhava. Go within. Contemplate. Go within yourself. Meditate. Don't get agitated. Be calm. Be quiet. Be satisfied with what you are. And Swami told us on that day, you know what I tell you frequently in the veranda? Yes, Swami, he used to tell us very frequently, shut up and sit down. You know why? Just shut up and sit down. You will be blessed with the beautiful bliss Once you keep your mouth shut and sit down, you will get it. On that day, this lesson was given to us. Don't run after the world and thinking that you will get some bliss from the world. This world will not be able to give you. It can give you only problems. More and more problems. Don't run after it. Be happy with what you are. This is the kind of education Swami granted us. I am not given much time to share my thoughts with all of you. Within another 5 minutes, I want to share a very wonderful experience of mine with Swami, about a trait. It is a unique trait about which this morning there was a discussion in Purnachandra Auditorium. The trait is called humility. Somebody being very humble. So many examples are given this morning. The entire talk was full of humility of people in the world, about whom, in the summary, some of the names were presented here. But I'll tell you something, probably we will all be stunned and shocked. After completing the water project, after granting water to all the parched villages in Anantapur district, the dried up throats, being blessed with nectar and water, spending hundreds and hundreds of crores under his personal direction, Swami worked on that project day and night, gave directions to the L&T company, put our people, lot of them on the job, strained himself, completed the project, gave water to so many lakhs and lakhs of people in entire Anantapur district. After the project was inaugurated and everybody started getting water and drinking, they all came here to express their gratitude to Swami. They were all sitting here on this side. And as teachers, we were also sitting by their side. Probably I was fortunate. I was closer to them on that day. Bhagavan completed his darshan on the lady's side, walked out towards that side, came there. He stood in front of all of them. They were all village panchayat board presidents, members, samiti presidents, a lot of them, and also villagers, about 1,500, 2,000 of them. Swami came there, stood in front of them, and asked them a question, as usual. Said, "Em Bangaru, yenduku andaru vacharu? Why Bangaru, why are you all here?" Then immediately, most of them, they got up on their knees and said, "Swami, we are here to express our gratitude to you for blessing us with this wonderful gift of water. But for that, our lives would have been miserable. So, please accept our gratitude." I was listening to that conversation and Swami looked at them and said, "Yanta tappu Bangaru," he said. "What a blunder you are committing," he said. Then they said, "Swami, blunder? It's a mistake. Tappu Swami? We want to express our gratitude to you." "Tappu Bangaru, it is a mistake. It's a big mistake. Chala pedda tappu. Adem Swami, we want to express our gratitude to you. How could it be a mistake?" And then the words uttered by Swami are really fascinating. He said, "I felt thirsty. I wanted to quench my thirst. I designed a project to get water and quench my own thirst. I am quenching my own thirst today. Do I thank myself? For Bangaru, you are all none other than my own reflections." He identified himself with everybody. He identified always himself with a primary school boy, a professor, a great leader, a powerful man, everybody. He saw himself in everybody. And he declared, "I am nothing but the universe." We are not able to see him as nothing but the universe itself. He is. He did it. He worked for the welfare of the entire universe. He taught us to work for the welfare of the universe. And, my dear friends, he did not stop there. He did not say that I quench my thirst and I don't thank myself. He moved a little forward and made another fantastic statement. He said, "Bangaru, I don't want you to thank me for what I did. In fact, accept my thanks to all of you. I said, Swami, you thank us? Yes. You know why? You gave me an opportunity to serve you all. For that, I really thank you, he said. And went a step further, and the third salvo was shot. He said, I pray to all of you to give me many, many more opportunities like this, so that the purpose of the avatar is sanctified. Would it ever be possible for us to get more educated than this? If you don't consider this as a real education, probably the word education will have no meaning at all. The way Swami lived, the way Swami did things, the way Swami perceived the welfare of the universe, the way Swami worked in a tireless manner without taking rest all the time he walked on this planet, morning till evening. And he declared to the world, I will not take rest, I don't allow you to take rest. He did not take rest any day. He went on and on and on. Friends, tell me now how we express our gratitude to him. If we have human quality in us left, the only way we can do is serve him all the time. Live for his mission. Work for his mission. Be worthy of his grace. Pray for only one thing. Swami, shower your grace on all of us and see to it that we stick to your lotus feet all the time, every minute thinking of you, expressing our deep sense of gratitude to you. We, seeking your grace, spend our lifetime and we consider that as the only way we can sanctify our lives. So, the time given to me is over. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to be able to share a few of my thoughts with you. I express my deep sense of gratitude to Bhagavan for keeping me here, allowing me to stay and do a little bit of service. And my prayer to Swami is, Swami, kindly shower your grace on all of us here, all over, everywhere, and give them the sense to sanctify their lives by serving the entire humanity by following the two dictums. Help ever, hurt never. Love all, serve all. Never have any ill feeling towards anybody in the world. How is it going to help you? It's not going to help you. That's what Swami said. Well, how is it going to help you? It is going to deteriorate you. It is best for you to love everybody. You are happy all the time, 24 hours. It is Swami's grace for which you have to pray all the time. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Jai Sai Ram.
Jaya Jaya Girija Bala. ವಿನಾಶಕ ವಿಮಲ ಗಜಾನನ
Prabhu.
Thank you.
आश्रित कल्पलती का आप बांधवा ओम जय जगदीश हरे। माता पिता गुरुदेव मरियंतुनीरे स्वामी मरियंतुनीरे नाद ब्रह्म जगन्नाथ नाद ब्रह्म जगन्नाथ नागेन्द्राशयना ओम जय जगदीश हरे। ओंकार रूप ओजस्वी साई महादेव संजय साई महादेव मंगल आरती अंदुको मंगल आरती अंदुको मंगल गीताई ओम जय जगदीश हरे। नारायण नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण 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 ओम नारायण नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण नारायण ओम जय सद्गुरुदेवा। नारायण नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण 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 ओम नारायण नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण नारायण ओम जय सद्गुरुदेवा।
Shanti, 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 samasta lokah sukhino bhavantu, samasta lokah sukhino bhavantu, samasta lokah sukhino bhavantu। Om shanti shanti shanti।
Jai bolo bhagwan shri satya sai baba ji ki jai।